Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down everything that happened with Club America and their abrupt exit in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So close, yet so far in the end. And then, of course, we're going to get ready and preview the upcoming quarterfinals against, lo and behold, Pachuca. So joining me to do all of that and try to talk me off a ledge will be none other than the man himself, Chris Rivera. Chris, my friend, how are you?
I think we're going to be both jumping off the ledge, if we're being honest. A lot to talk about, yeah. Brother. A lot to talk about, but, you know. It's going to be negative. We're going to probably piss people off, I would assume. But we're here for therapy, I guess, you know, because it could be a crazy week.
It can be. And maybe we'll find a little glimmer of hope along the way. But no promises to be made whatsoever in that department. We might as well just jump right into it and jump off the deep end. Obviously, the big talk of all last week was the failure that was America in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. We spoke about it briefly on the podcast last week when we were previewing this, the second leg going into Pachuca, that America needed to be more productive, that they needed to be, you know, a little bit more creative going forward. And the last thing that they needed to do was avoid mishaps and hiccups as they did in previous encounters. And it just seems that, you know, they completely did the opposite of what we said they needed to do. And they just kind of fell and crumbled and really shot themselves in the foot. We should have probably knew that the game was not going to go our way when after 4 minutes, Sebastián Cáceres injures himself.
A pinch injures him, in my opinion. It was a horrible pitch.
Yeah, the pitch was very, it was bad. It was bad. It was very soft. It was very,
dry. It looked dry. I don't know if that's the right word.
It looked dry, but it also looked like it was very, like, it was very loose as well. Like, it was just, players were slipping everywhere and everything. It was just, it was poor. I mean, if you had to sum it up in a sentence, How would you even sum this up?
I don't know, man. It's just a lot of emotions, really, just thinking back. Because you don't want to watch the clips again, right? I think that's the worst thing you could do as a fan, is rewatching highlights of ugly losses, right? Maybe there's going to be a memory that I remember that's completely wrong, or a memory we completely forgot about. But it just felt one of those things where it's like you could tell from the beginning of the game how the game was going to go. And when Cáceres, that thing happened to Cáceres, and then the first goal where it's like an ugly bounce, and you know, if the pitch was like in better shape, it probably goes out or Malagón gets it. But it's one of those things where, I believe it was the first goal, right? Where it's like it hits someone.
Yeah. And then, it hits Igor, I think. And then it just stops there. It's weird,
and it slows the ball down, and it just, like, whoever gets there first, you know that the pitch. And I'm not trying to make an excuse. I think it's one of those things where it's like, hey man, maybe, you know, it just sucks. It's a situation that sucks for both sides, and the luck just fell on their side. And like I said, once the first goal happened and the second goal, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, What can we do, right? Right at that point, I felt like we would have to see an America side that we haven't seen, where they're just attacking and shooting off everything, and I don't think we saw that. And it's very frustrating to see that.
It is. It was very frustrating to see the America side that we got in both legs, to be honest. We spoke so much about the importance of the first leg and what it meant, and this was the first time America was going to be kind of faced in a situation where they were not going to be the ones receiving the second leg. And this America side, as crazy as it sounds, I expected a little bit of a hesitation or a little bit of a downfall, but I didn't expect a complete utter shatterness of what we're so used to and so accustomed. Because let's be honest, this America side has been receiving second legs all throughout, even last year, right? In the Liguilla, first place. So you get to kind of have that cushion the first time that you're kind of tested and put in a situation where you need to come out on top, where you need to kind of close out in the first leg because you're at your home stadium in order to manage the second leg. And it just seems that we crumbled upon expectations. I don't know if the pressure was just too much. I mean, obviously we talked about it, right? Some of the players looked gassed in that first leg. In the second leg, I think after like the 70th minute, you just felt like there wasn't just tired legs. There was just tired minds out there too. Like they just felt like there was no sense of like, okay, I'm going to be creative. I'm going to try something different. And it just felt like what it was. America was playing against the clock and it showed. And it showed. And they got desperate. They got clumsy. They got lazy. And if it wasn't for Pachuca themselves, this game would have been done and dusted in the second half if they didn't miss a couple of chances.
And it's frustrating, right? Because the game was winnable. Both legs were very winnable, right? And I'll give props to Pachuca and Pumas, right? Where I'm going to go back all the way to those two games where they made things uncomfortable. And they've shown that this is how you beat this team, right? And it's frustrating because you really pay attention to this team, even all the way to the Tan Ortiz era, right? Where we're just having fun out there and we're just scoring and we're outplaying everybody. But then you have these type of games where it's just like, why don't you have that inner dog in you, right? Why is it very dependent in that I'm talented and I'm going to do whatever I want because everyone around me is talented? Like, we need that nasty dog that it's going to sound kind of weird, right? But sometimes you don't really need players that are overly talented, but just that dog that's going to piss everyone else off. In the Sambuesa, I'll give an example. Even though Sambuesa was very talented, or even Cuauhtemoc in his older days, right? What would he do? He'll flop and he'll piss off the opponent, and we'd get opportunities off stuff like that, right? Or like I said, Sambuesa, same thing, you know. Just players that have that character, and I feel like you have it to an extent. I feel like your main guys up top have it. Fidalgo probably has a different type of mentality, but in a similar category. And then outside of that, you don't really have, you know, that difference in mentality. It's more of a, if I'm getting hit all the time and the ref's not calling it, I'm just going to complain. And I don't know if you felt that way, but I felt that way in these games against Pachuca and against Pumas, where it's like, I'm going to lose my head or I'm not going to react to it. But it's like, and I'm just going to complain. And it's just like, we need more character. We need more dogs out there. And I know everyone's going to probably be like, hey, bro, you can't really just fill a team with that mentality. But I think there is like something that's missing. I know we just won the league title and everything, but it does feel like you need that character, that hey, I'm going to be out there and fighting for everything, right? And I don't think we have enough of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we lacked a little bit of tenacity, a little bit of edge, and to be honest, heart, right? You saw it throughout the entirety of this tie against Pachuca. There was just moments in where you honestly needed your key players to come up, stand up, and carry this team, right? Your Henry Martins, your Diego Valdez's, your Julian Quiñones's, they disappeared, right? They went ghost. They didn't carry the team. And I'm specifically looking at Diego Valdez and Julian Quiñones, who are meant to be the kind of the creators, the people that kind of make things happen for America on and off the ball. I saw Diego Valdez that, again, looked to be disappearing in moments of importance. Like Julian Quiñones that wanted to just draw contact and that's it. That's all he wanted to do. He never had like a plan B afterwards. Like it was just, oh, they fouled me. Why didn't you call that ref? Like, I get it. You guys have a game plan. It's not working. Now your back's against the wall. But you can't necessarily feel entitled that the referee is going to go at you, is going to defend you or going to protect you in every scenario. Because that's not the case. You're actually going to be hurting yourself in that situation because the referee is going to be looking like, oh, he's just trying to draw contact. He's not actually getting fouled. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a frustration there that there wasn't a player that can come out there and kind of do the job and do things in a certain way. Which, yeah, you know, like we mentioned, frustrating. And another person that probably agrees with our frustration is none other than the man joining us a little bit late, but better late than never, Christian Rosendo. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, yes, okay, sir. Perfect. Because I had some trouble with my mic earlier. But no, I'm, you know, doing well. Still trying to, you know, just take everything in, especially after the painful and humiliating loss to Pachuca. You know, I think that I don't know who said it last week, but someone said that was going to be the game of the season, and it kind of feels like that because you kind of almost feel like we kind of fell into like a hole in a sense, and whether it's a lot of questions whether the team can kind of come back in Liguilla, especially now that we have the same team that can go either, you know, two ways. Either you can kind of start having flashbacks of what happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago, or you can kind of use the opportunity to kind of just take that and run with it and build so much confidence off of that. So we got to see how we respond. It's going to be an interesting first game tomorrow.
Absolutely. And we'll get to that in, you know, a little bit later on the podcast. Right now we're trying to assess and trying to figure out, piece together as to exactly what went wrong at Hidalgo and what honestly went wrong within these two legs of the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinal. And, you know, me and Chris were kind of on the side of, you know, the Sumerica side, as flat-footed as they looked throughout this series. You kind of were looking at to the pitch to see who's going to kind of, like Chris mentioned, have that dog inside them and kind of carry the team forward. I mentioned Diego Valdez and Julian Quiñones were the two players that I think needed to step up big in these instances of the match. And both of them, I feel like, very much let not just themselves down, but the team and the fans. And they were below expectations. And so I just feel like this is a team that now has everything to play for. And to be honest, even if we win the league title, I don't necessarily feel like that's going to fill the void of not coming out on top in the Champions Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all kind of agreed that winning the Champions Cup was the most important trophy out of the two this season, right? It was just that, I guess, recognition that we would have received and that, you know, to go to the first ever 32 Club World Cup. It would have been a great, great event to attend to. And it's an event that an institution like America needed to represent. So I understand why maybe you may feel like that. But also, I think it's also something that, you know, we haven't been bicampeones in forever, right? So I think this is another thing that we can kind of aspire to. And hopefully the players kind of feel the same way.
But yeah, I think at the end of the day, though, we all kind of were on the bus of like, okay, CONCACAF Champions Cup, we haven't won this competition in X amount of years, right? I think it's what, creeping up to almost 10, right? 8 years, I believe. 2016, right? Yeah, 2016. So yeah, 8 years. So it's a long time, you know. It's a long time without going and winning this competition, right? We claim to be the biggest in the region. We claim to be the biggest club in North America, and to kind of fall flat in an instant like this to Pachuca. No discredit to Pachuca, right? But you see where they're at in the table, and you see that, you know. Granted, yes, we're going to play against them and we'll see exactly what they're made out of in league play. But I mean, honestly, you feel like this America side let themselves down tremendously because this was a competition that we all felt very confident about. And the exit, as poor as it was, I think has no excuse whatsoever for happening. And, you know, there's a lot of questions and losses like this start creating, you know, tension and media scandals, right? We're talking about players already on the fringe of being, you know, sold or contracts not renewed or stuff like that. And we'll get to that in a little bit later when we talk about club news and everything. But, you know, instances like this where we thought, you know, this America side was just so compact, so well-structured, you know, the locker room and all that. Slowly but surely, Chris, it feels like the team is on a steady decline and a little bit of deterioration within the locker room.
Oh, yeah, man. I didn't want to, like, point that out. I kind of wanted to be delusional, I guess, kind of say, oh, it's just media talk, right? But the more I look into stuff and the more vibes I get, it does feel like there's a little crack that's starting to happen in the locker room. I think this win needs to happen against Pachuca. I think they either need a win or really die together trying. What I mean by that is, like, if you lose, at least we could come out saying, you know what, you guys gave it your best. Something, it happens. Obviously, we're going to be critique. You know, we're going to critique them. We're going to break it down, say what was wrong, whatever. But there's also ways where you could lose and not have this, like, very sour taste in your mouth where everyone's pointing at each other. And I think right now with the whole just everything that's going on, the losses, the way some players have reacted to it, the media talk, just a lot of things. I think there's signs of players not being happy what other players do or comments that they make or decisions they make on the field, off the field. I think we are there. I think there is something that's happening that hasn't came to the light. I think we have to win. If we don't win, I think you're going to see somewhat of a rebuild in some areas.
Yeah. And I mean, we were already poised for a rebuild coming this summer, right? With the expectation of a couple players leaving. But now it seems that, you know, these players might not leave because of the good performances they had, but because of the need to move some of these players around because of the way that things kind of all exploded at the end. But coming back to this game, Christian, you know, it wasn't like the America was completely down and out. We had moments. We had, I think, a good 30 minutes where we found some form. We found some momentum. But, you know, same old story as before. America gets chances. America doesn't put away their chances. Now we're kind of stuck between, you know, what happened and what could have been if one or two chances go our different ways. I mean, you know, you talked heavily about the Henry Martin miss, right? Which was just minutes after we had just scored. And the play does happen around the 30-something, like I think it's the 35th minute or something like that. I could be completely wrong. But what I'm trying to say is there was plenty of games still left to be played. So the fact that America was still not able to find an answer after that, I think that's more of the frustrating part about it, is the fact that we get chances, we don't put them away, and then slowly, as we're playing against the clock, we kind of lose some identity. We lose an idea of how to play, and we play very premature, very elementary as to, let's just kick the ball up and see what happens. As if we have Peter Crouch up there.
Yeah, no, just to circle back on the Henry miss, I think it comes at a time where you really felt like America was... We had them on the ropes. We were making our passes. We were attacking spaces. We were connecting. And if you go back and watch that play, how it started, we finally come out of our own zone where we attack the space in the middle. Zendejas makes a beautiful run, and then it's just the passing, the connecting, and all it needed was a soft touch by our goal scorer, our number nine, and the fact that we just couldn't do it at that moment.
Not true. That's where I'm gonna stop you, bro, and we're about to have an argument. Because that's not true, bro. That's not true. Let's be fair, bro. That it was not a slight touch. What messed it up? I was about to say something. Hell no, it was it, brother. What are you talking about?
Oh, first of all, everyone should have agreed that it should have been first time. Yes or no?
Yes, I agree with first that. Time. But it, well, okay. But you're saying it was just a slight touch.
But he goes with the chip, but that's fine. He hits it a little bit too hard. He just hits the chip a little bit too hard.
Because the first touch messed it up.
The ball come with momentum. Nice little slight touch. Ivan does it all the time in Sunday League. He should have had it. Player of that caliber, of that stardom, to play in America, you guys seen it. We have seen it in the past couple seasons. He makes those 9.9 out of 10 times.
But you're saying it's an easy goal. It wasn't an easy goal because of that first touch. Let's talk about it so, for what happened.
We already went back and forth on this one. So I'm going to let you speak, but I'm just going to disagree with you because I think that should have been a goal 10 out of 10 times. I think that's one where Henry Martin, who he is as a player, should have made that goal. 100%.
I agree in the take that we all agree. First touch, it should have been first touch started right away. Mm-hmm. That's what should have been. But let's talk about what actually happened. Once the first touch happened, he doesn't have many options. It isn't an easy shot because Moreno closes that gap. It's not, bro. There's only two options that he had, which was the chip, which he completely messed up, right? and then the second one, where he should have done a Fernando Torres, where he just goes around the goalkeeper. He could have done that easily, if we're being completely honest. But the whole situation wasn't that easy as people are trying to paint it. I see people trying to do it from a screenshot situation. Brother, the play is fast. We can't sit here and just be like, oh, this and this. The play is fast. Where he messes up is that first shot. Everyone agrees with that. What actually happened? There's little time to really do anything about it. And that's it. That's on him. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not on him. It's on him. And it's a great thing from the goalkeeper. Ivan would say it too. The goalkeeper went and closed that gap right away. Did he or did he not?
Yeah, he came off his line pretty quick, but I think because he was already reading that play. But quickly, just Ricardo said, Martin thought he was Suarez in that play. Backfired, unfortunately. And then one of one saying he shouldn't have even chipped it. And I think kind of going back to what Christian said. I can meet both of you in the middle. I agree that, you know, it was a tough shot to make when he takes the first touch. Goalkeeper does a great job rushing out. Could he have tried the other post? Maybe the goalkeeper's hand wouldn't have gotten there. I don't know. It's a tight squeeze. But I agree with the thing that Christian's saying too. Henry Martin, the caliber of the player that he is, the caliber of player that we've expected him to be, and the fact that he's a striking striker for America, you need to be putting those in the back of the net. Like, it's you know, no questions asked. So you both make a very good point, and there's an argument to be made on both sections. But the reality is that he misses. But for me, the frustrating thing is, okay, you missed that. You had already scored, cool, whatever. But there is 60 plus minutes left still to be played, and I don't remember another clear cut chance that America had after that moment.
I can't even. No, I couldn't. On top of my head, no, not really.
Nope, none.
Exactly. That's that's the biggest issue. That was my biggest takeaway from this. Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway from the night was, okay, yes, we're all going to sit here and talk. Because everyone was talking about that on Wednesday. No, excuse me. Tuesday night. Everyone was talking about that miss and this and that. But I was like, okay, look, the timestamp is right there on your guys' own tweet. Like, my biggest thing is, why was there not another opportunity? Not even like a semi shot or something that I can remember that had some threat going forward. And that has to be, you know, that has to be a frustration. One of one saying, do we agree he should leave Henry Martin? He says that he shouldn't. I agree. I don't think he needs to go.
But someone should come in. I'll tell you that much. Someone needs to come in. But
someone should come in to back him up or to compete with him.
Look,
compete.
Okay, that's a good question.
That's a different question, you know, because that's two kind of different players. You know what I mean?
So let me paint a picture for you guys. And you guys tell me what you prefer. We get rid of Brian Rodriguez, right? Because we have to get rid of a foreigner. You bring in a foreigner striker, young from somewhere else that has the potential to compete. Or do you keep that backup nine and just develop someone with the mindset of, hey, we're going to develop this guy for the next 5 years, per se, or whatever contract he ends up getting. And the expectation is by season 3-4 around there, this guy's going to compete and is going to end up beating his spot or taking his spot. Because I think that a lot of fans don't really talk about it, but we can't just sit here and say, oh, we're just going to bring in a bunch of foreigners and we're just going to build the team off of it. There's rules, right? Especially next season where you're going to have to get rid of you're going to have to get rid of someone. So I always see people, right? And I'm sure you guys agree with it. It's very annoying when fans start saying, this guy, no. Well, you got to bring in someone, right? If you don't want Raul Jimenez, Well, I'm sorry. Who do you want from the Mexican market? We can't afford something Jimenez, and I'm sure most of the families won't want him either because of his dad and everything, right? And then you look at the other Mexican strikers. You guys want Mudo? I don't mind Mudo, but a lot of guys are not going to like Mudo Aguirre, right? So now we start talking about academy players. Who do you like from the academy? A lot of people don't like Mozambito, and to be fair, like, it's only because of that Juarez game. The only reason we stopped hyping him up because we saw that Juarez game. He had opportunities. And
it's terrible.
It's only because of that. After that, like, did he get any, like, real opportunity? Like, not really. So, like, where is it? Is there an academy player that you like? Is it just, like, one of those things, like, look, we don't need Brian Rodriguez. We could bring in a Mexican winger that could play that side. Or maybe an academy player that we like or whatever, but it has to be a Mexican backup, right? Do you like Chava Reyes that much for him to be Quiñones' backup? Probably not. But point is, like, you're going to have to move pieces around. And I want to know where you guys were. Would you guys rather bring in because you're going to pay Henry. Let's also point that out. You're going to pay him a lot of money. So if you're going to pay a lot of money for a guy to compete, well, now you're kind of wasting money on someone else. You know, you're wasting too much money on one position when the formation doesn't, like, involve two strikers. So now it's just one of those things. Personally, I would just develop someone underneath them and really have a real development. But then, you know, it's just a complicated thing, you know? So I want to know your guys' take. What would you guys do?
So you make a good point because you – and I think everyone agrees here that if Henry gets paid, that's not a problem, right? I think he's deserved it. I think that he's been a consistent player for 3-plus years now. And, you know, so that's that. The only problem is with paying him, now you really can't bring in someone high caliber to compete with him because there's a chance that he might lose the spot. And then it's just like, okay, so why'd you pay him so much money if you're just going to replace him with someone else in the starting 11, right? That just doesn't really make sense. And like you said, you're spending too much money on a striker when maybe we need to reinforce our midfield, for example, because there seems like there's about 2-plus players leaving in the midfield. And, you know, we need to reinforce that area also. So I'm with you in the sense that I think we need to bring in someone to kind of bring up. But I guess maybe just the names that are floating around right now, which is still, by the way, way too early because I think we're still like about a month removed from that, maybe even 2 months removed from that. The names that are coming up right now don't really fill so much confidence. Rightfully so, because I don't really care for many of the names that were brought up either. But it's like you said, though, it's finding that right person to kind of bring up, you know, can fill in for Henry, do a decent job. Because let's face it, when Mozambique was there, when Pato Salas was there, when Ilian was there, everyone did a 0 out of 10 job. Let's be honest. No one was up to the expectation. No one was up to the hype of being a striker for America, right? So now it's finding that right player. Who is it? I have no idea, honestly. That's the problem, I guess.
Yeah, you make a good point right there, Christian. And I just kind of want to read off some comments here before I kind of piggyback off what you just said. Gershon said Viñas.
I agree.
But he's definitely joking with those laughing emojis. But he did say he also disagreed. He says does not want Mudo Aguirre. He said I would rather play with one less. So there's,
but that's
there's
what I'm his saying, take on, you know, that. So what is the move, right? What is the move? If you're, mind you, we joke about Viñas, but in this situation, a Viñas type prospect isn't a bad thing. But let's also be honest with each other. Us as a fan base, do we have the patience to see someone develop behind anybody? Any position? Or do we have the patience? Emilio Lara, for example, right? I still think he's very talented. The guy needs to experience to get better. Same thing happened with Ramon Juarez. But do us as a fans, like, are we patient enough to say, oh, yeah, we agree, we'll loan him out maybe, or just continue to just play him and if he messes up, he's going to learn from it. We don't have that patience. Let's be completely honest, right? So for me, maybe it is bringing that prospect foreigner, right? Maybe that's the solution. Well, so let's be honest.
I was just going to add, in terms of the patience thing, so I think I'm on the side where we gave Mozambique chances, and I think I've seen him maybe perform good in one game out of maybe like the 10 chances that he received, in a sense. So that's why I really don't care for him. And, you know, I think that's why maybe a lot of the fan base don't really have the patience for him to grow. That's one. Ilian Hernandez, do any of us like him here? Like, that was just a terrible buy, panic buy, mafia buy. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but that it should have never happened. What we do agree, though, is that there are players in the academy like Pato Salas, like Juan Cantu, that we do see more interested in that. And I think we wouldn't mind if they had a whole season under them, being on the bench, riding, and being kind of Henry's backup. I think that's where, I guess maybe some of the fan base may agree that, okay, maybe if you bring up Pato Salas for a season, what can he do? You know, I know he really didn't show off his best in the few minutes that he had, but like you said, it's completely different playing, you know, the last 10 minutes and then playing a whole game, right?
Absolutely. Midwestern Stroll is saying to compete against him, right now there's nobody. I kind of agree with him. There's not really getting paid,
and there's no reason to bring in someone to compete with him. It just doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. AP Jr. is saying we should make Cristiano Ronaldo's dreams come true and come play for the best club in Liga MX. See? I like it. It'd be a good idea. Midwestern Cholo, kind of piggybacking off what you said right there. Patricio Sala has potential. They should develop him. I think we've all kind of been on the on the Patricio Salas train. Yeah. Look, to be honest, I think, you know, Septal saying Dupuy, right? Question mark. I'm not too sure about that. I agree that I think right now there's nobody that comes in and kind of, you don't go and spend big bucks on a second striker when you just spend big bucks on your first striker. Yeah. Two, there's not enough time to develop someone. So you need to get someone kind of in that mid-tier range, or you just wait till Henry's contract runs out until he kind of moves out, and then you go spend big bucks on a striker. Because remember, this contract's most likely going to be for about 2 years, maybe three. But let's be honest, I think it's just going to be a two-year contract deal. We don't know what that's looking like, but we do know, like you mentioned, Christian, he's going to get paid big bucks. So the money's not going to be there for a second striker to kind of have, you know, big money as well. I think we're going to see the same thing where, you know, maybe we do get a Mulo Aguirre-esque type of player that could come in and maybe shock us in 2 years, could be ready for the starting role. Would be perfect, would be amazing. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. Dylan rolled down saying sell Henry. We probably get about three nickels and a gancito for him, to be honest. I don't think he's going in the market for that much money right now.
Well, he's going free. Maybe yeah, less maybe, if you don't resign him. He's going free.
Of course.
So it's like,
that's why. That's why. And okay. If you resign him, I don't think, again, you're not going to get, you're not going to be making that much. For what you're resigning him for, what you're promising him for, I don't think you're making that back tenfold, you know? So, yeah, it's an interesting conversation that we're going to have during the summer, because I'm sure more names are going to pop up depending on how America finishes, you know, the season, how Henry finishes, right? We can sit here criticizing him and then he scores like 18 goals in Liga, and then now we're over here kind of praising him, right? Which I don't think will be 18, but still, you guys can get my drift.
Yeah, I think that once we become champions this season, then we'll talk about our off-season moves.
I like it. Well, alrighty then. Let's wrap up Champions Cup. I mean, quickly and swiftly. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a disappointment is this for America season, and does it mean that America has completely failed throughout the season, regardless of a bicampeonato?
So out of 1 through 10, I think this was a 9. Like I said, this was the top priority for the season. We had a fairly decent run or a decent road to get to the final. And with that due respect, I Columbus is a great team, but I think that we probably would have beaten Columbus too. And it's just, you know, it sucks because like you play a tournament, you don't have to play like your usual Monterreys and usual Tigres, right? That wasn't going to be the case. And the fact that you couldn't get it done with this kind of team and squad that you have, there's no excuses, right? We should have won this series. And it's definitely something to think about. But no, I don't think that if, you know, this is a complete bust, especially if we do win the 15, I think that's the only way we can save it. Other than that, though, then if we don't win the 15, then yes, this whole season was for nothing, basically. You know, most points, most wins, least amount of goals. That doesn't matter unless you have a trophy to back it up.
Chris?
I don't know, man. There's still a lot to really talk about, if we're being honest. We could probably go off for days about this game. It's just, I agree that you win league and it's like this didn't really happen because you are participating in the next Champions Cup, right? But it's still one of those situations where it's like you're still pointing fingers, you're still really, you know, bothered by the fact that you lost against a very young squad. You invest so much, right? So much, and you lose against a team. Mind you, I don't think Pachuca is playing amazing, per se. I think they're very well coached, where it's like, all right, you guys are going to be very dependent of your 1v1s. All right, we're going to make sure you never have a 1v1. And that's what they did, right? They're very dependent on their foreigners to really stand out, and everyone else is just going to make sure it's 3v1, right, for example. Like, it's just – and their goalkeeper's playing very good. I don't know why he doesn't get praised, but I thought he played very good. It's just one of those things where – if we're facing them again, right, we're going to get into that, and it could really become very ugly for us. Mind you, even from a losing player standpoint, everyone's saying the only way to keep Fidalgo is by being in that World Cup of Clubs, and now it's like, well, he's gone. Like, now we're like, we have to go and look for his replacement. Now you kind of lose a voice in the locker room, and a very talented player that always has the ball on his feet and is always contributing to plays, whether he scores or assists, he's always part of the play. So it's just one of those things where it's, if we win the bicampeonato, then it's a happy ending, right? But if we don't, it's a very dark situation to really be in, and it could get uglier. That's as much as I'll say.
AP Junior, kind of going this down the same right. Says my take is this: for me, it's a 10. Meaning, if we don't win the league, we need to rebuild, including president and coach. Hashtag fuera jardine. Hashtag fuera bathroom. Which is kind of something that goes back to what Dylan Roldan is saying. If we don't win the 15th, jardine out. I'm gonna just quickly say no.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you.
No. Yeah, I think it's a little absurd to think that jardine loses.
I'll say this. I'll say this, and my bad for interrupting, but I'll say this. It depends on how we get eliminated, if we get eliminated. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Mario Carrillo back in the day got fired in a very similar situation. So.
Okay, yeah, I mean, but Mario Carrillo's team didn't put up numbers the way that America did, you know?
I mean, having this America like 38 unbeaten games, something like that?
Most of them were ties.
No, I think it ties back to your point, Chris, where it kind of seems like the locker room is starting to kind of slowly fall apart. And I think that the directiva and the fans will most likely point to that of being the downfall. If we get eliminated, then it to be to Jardine's fault, which I don't think we should just let Jardine off the hook, because I do think he has his faults in kind of the elimination, right? I think some of the tactics he did was wrong. The substitutions were wrong.
The subs.
The subs.
The moments of not recognizing where you are in the game was wrong. But, you know, we'll have time to critique that, I guess, when we preview the first leg. But, you know, I don't think that he gets sacked if we don't win the 15th. Is my end.
Yeah. And Dylan's kind of surprised by our answer, saying because America is probably has the strongest in Liga MX and to go trophiesless is kind of low key crazy. But in theory, you didn't go trophiesless in the calendar year, right? You got one title, you missed out on two. Yes, I get that. It's in an American standard, that's unacceptable. Yeah, there's still a lot to be played for in the rest of what 2024 is.
And then we win that, we go to Campeones Cup, right?
And then yeah, Super Cup, so, right? Or
another trophy. I don't know. They've been making cups left, right, and center, but still, we're obligated to win these. Really, I mean, it's kind of the thing is, but I mean, ultimately, you know, I agree that this was a tremendous disappointment from the team, and I would hope to say that, you know, winning a bicampeonato would make it so that this fracaso is kind of expunged and forgotten about. But next year, 2025, when we're all sitting on our couches watching the Club World Cup and we don't see an America on the screen, we're going to come back to the same conversation and say, you know what? What if, you know? And so I think it won't be completely erased if we do win the 15th. Which is, like I mentioned, the sucky thing about all this. But of course, the bicampeonato is fine. I mean, who's not going to celebrate it, right? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Frank agrees. Too many trophies.
A lot of people like called us, or a lot of fans were just like, "No, it has to be the bicampeonato first. Like, who cares about the Champions Cup? It's for that reason." Like you mentioned, Ivan. Like, we're going to be sitting on our couch watching it, and we're going to be watching León, Monterrey. Oh, you know, these clubs that we know we're better than them compete against the best in the world. It's just like, we should be there, right? And we always make this comparison about the 2018 team, where we were like, wow, imagine if we played Libertadores. Like, I want to see us stacked up against them. Like, I really think we had a good shot at beating most of those teams in that competition. And I'm not saying that, oh, we're going to go out there and beat Manchester City and beat Real Madrid and beat Bayern Munich, but it would be nice to kind of see, you know, stacked
I'll
up,
say that.
You know.
I'll say that.
Because she's like, behind closed doors, they would too. But we're live.
Yeah. It'd just be nice to see us in an official match against them. Like, you know, not with their U23 playing against us, right? It would be nice to see a really good, intense competitive match. But, you know, the only way to get there is winning the Champions Cup. And we have 4 tries to do it, I guess, for the next one in 29.
That's terrible. It is. It's every 4 years, or is it every 2 years?
Every 4 years now.
Oof, man, that seems even further away than what I initially thought it would be. Yeah, it's gonna be huge FOMO, but I mean, it is what it is. We have to kind of live with our consequences of not being able to kind of fulfill the expectations, and I guess we'll see what happens from there on out. 1924 says, I wouldn't say Fuera Jardine at all. I would definitely say that he would definitely need to look into his tactics, but a rebuild after this season, I believe, is definitely needed, campeones or not. So kind of iterating what we just talked about. But right, gentlemen, I don't want to extend this any much further. Let's talk a little bit of club news before we talk about, again, Pachuca. Seems like we're going to be reiterating everything we just spoke about in the beginning of the podcast. But we kind of alluded to it a little bit, right? These cracks in the dressing room. A lot of news coming out that the Trisecta is no longer... Well, actually, they're no longer podcasting until further notice. It seems to be that there's a deterioration in that locker room. But it also means that some of these players are playing... I guess for their livelihood in an America jersey. Chris, you sent us the video from ESPN Deportes about the journalist that came out and said there's a couple of players that are still playing to keep on their America jersey, which is Richard Sanchez, Brian Rodriguez, Kevin Alvarez, and Igor Lichnowsky, right? Igor is still on the fringes of whether or not we're going to re-sign him. He looks to be the most problematic out of the whole department. So he's got a lot to kind of win over in that sense. Kevin has not looked his best ever since that injury that plagued him right before the start of the Liguilla for last season. And things have just spiraled out of control for him. Brian, even though he was a great addition to this America side, again, another injury plagues him and hasn't looked the same ever since. And Richard Sanchez, well, we've talked about him so many times already on this podcast. I think we're all ready to say good thank you and goodbye. So, kind of thoughts on that?
Do you want to go, Christian, or you want to hear me?
No, you can go first. You can go.
So let me break down each one, right? When it comes to Igor, I think he hasn't been bad, but there's times where I watch him play and I'm just like, we could upgrade from this guy. I don't think there's a need to sign him when I don't know what his price tag would be, but I would imagine for that price tag, you probably could get someone just better. you look at moments where he doesn't play, and it's Ramon Juarez and Cáceres, and I don't, there's no difference to me. I think Igor's a little bit stronger, he's taller, but and it's still like you feel just secure with Ramon Juarez too. So it becomes one of those things where I'm not mad if we move on from him. I just hope if we do sign him, it's not like this, like, oh, you're overpaying for a guy that, mind you, someone brought it up in the comments. Igor has had problems at every single team that he's been at. You have to take that into consideration, especially with the whole, you know, fighting with the journalists over them, making comments. Like, I get annoyed when players or athletes do this because it's not just them. They do it to everyone in every single sport. So, like, why make it a big deal, right? Kevin, I'm not getting rid of. I still believe in the talent, but I am bringing in someone for that position to make it a competition. I think the guy just had a very bad injury, right? He was injecting himself to play. He'd never really recovered. You know, I think a lot of fans are being unfair with him. I think you have to look at it from a human standpoint. Like, how do you go? It's the same thing with Raul Jimenez, right? Raul Jimenez almost dies. And people want to look at it as a joke. Like, okay, man, like, there's a human aspect of these injuries, of these things that happen that we really need to just look at it from a human standpoint and be like, all right. Mind you, they try to bring in players for that right side. They bring in an academy player from Pachuca that has not played a single minute. And he signed them, so it's like, right? I'm not quitting on Kevin unless he's being toxic. Like I said, in the locker room, but I really don't think he is. He doesn't come off as a guy like that. Richard Sanchez, I've said it a billion times. It's time to go, or he's gonna be the next Roger Martinez, where we're not making a single penny off of him. Like, he needs to go. And Rayo, I think he was gonna leave whether he had a good season or not. I think he has options, and I think America is probably looking at it from a lot of perspectives. I think that Henry Martin incident kind of rubbed people the wrong way with that. I know we kind of talked about it from a Henry standpoint, but maybe it's a situation way deeper than some of us have looked at, right? Maybe it is a situation where it's not just Henry reacting to that. It's more of a, hey, brother, you're not taking it serious. And mind you, I don't know what game it was. Maybe you guys could correct me, but there's games where Chava Reyes is getting subbed in before him, right? So what does that mean something? Does it not? I think, you know, Rayo, you have to get rid of. And like I said, if you're going to bring in a striker, and if it's foreigner or not, the guy you're moving in this situation is going to be Brian Rodriguez. Because if Hidalgo leaves, right, Richard Sanchez probably this day, because it becomes a weird situation. So where do you have to look at to bring in someone else or to get rid of and bring someone else? Well, you got to get rid of Brian. You have to bring in a Mexican talent for the front of that left side. And then, like I said, backup, it has to be a prospect from somewhere else. So, yeah, that's how I view it. It's just a very weird situation I really talk about right now. I don't know why information like that is being come out now, but hey, you know, it also isn't that surprising that we're looking at these four players.
Absolutely. Christian?
I mean, I think Chris hit pretty much every note. Just to briefly touch on it. Igor, I don't think he would be a bad addition to the team, maybe like as a depth player. If you want to reinforce that position, fine. If not, whatever. I do want to just bring back people that when Igor was brought in, we all kind of questioned it. We all said, like, this really didn't make sense at the time. Come to think of it, and then he was the one that kind of helped our defense go back to being that top of the league defense, right? So the talent is definitely there. I just don't like how the media is portraying that the podcast is the reason for him being labeled as problematic, because I do think he is still a good player. And also, I will throw out a little, maybe not a hot take per se, but to me, I don't think Ramon Juarez had a good series against Pachuca. I think that he was a little bit a step behind a lot of things. I think his timing was just a little bit off, which is normal. I mean, you know, he's not the regular starter, right? He's still learning. But if we're going into the Liguilla with Igor and Ramon, I think that all eyes may have to be on Ramon more than Igor in a sense, in terms of performance wise. Richard Sanchez, I think I'm starting to see what Chris has been saying. It just doesn't seem like he's the same one as when he joined. It's either that or it's like, you know, we could improve on that position for sure. And if he wants to go and if there's a right offer, I think he should go. Brian Rodriguez, like you said, like, so it just seems some games he doesn't look motivated. He comes in and it's like we don't even recognize that he comes in anymore, right? It doesn't seem like he's making the same impact, whether he has his mind somewhere else or he just wants to leave because he did have offers before the season started to leave. Maybe his mind's over there, right? So, like I said, good offer comes in. I don't mind him leaving at all. Even out of it is the least one. I think that I agree with Chris on this one as well. The talent is there. It's just that unfortunately this the injuries just got the better of him. But I think if you start giving him starter minutes starting next season, I think we should be able to see the old Kevin Alvarez back.
And we'll see how true all of these rumors are, right? Like we mentioned, Christian, you put it perfectly, right? We're about a month away till this window opens. And so a lot to still be talked about, right? And if America advances, those discussions will simmer down a little bit. And if America does not make it through to the next round, then of course it'll be elevated and talked about even more so. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what the outcome is within the quarterfinals, and then we can start making more judgments and assessments of each individual players. But you spoke heavily about, right, the center-back partnership that's going to be for the Liguilla. And let's talk about it because that's the last club news that I have. Unfortunately, Sebastián Cáceres gets injured, and the injury, unfortunately, is a serious one where he is gone for the rest of the season, right? Even if América makes it, the final, he would still not be available. I think he barely will make Copa América, if even that. So yeah. Septal puts in, you know, let's talk about that we don't have our best center back for Liguilla, which is going to be a huge blow for América, you know?
And a crazy statement to make considering the trajectory Sebastián Cáceres had in América.
Yeah, we've come full circle, I guess, in that sense. So it's crazy. It's unfortunate. And you mentioned it, right? Ramón Juárez is going to have a lot to do. A lot of expectations will be put on that man. And, you know, we all speak heavily of Ramón Juárez. I think now he needs to back it up. If not, then I think we need to start looking, you know, a little bit closer to him and seeing whether or not he's capable of being set starter. Because I think we all looked at him at one point and said, you know what? He's good enough to maybe potentially be the starting center back for us. And now we're looking at him and thinking, okay, can he hold his own in these kind of situations?
So, he's just trying to step up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about stepping up. So let's move away from CONCACAF Champions Cup and against Pachuca. And let's talk quarterfinals against Pachuca. Oh my God. This is like Groundhog Days all over again, Christian. What is it that we have to relive this nightmare again? And what is it that America needs to do differently to kind of finally break this curse of Hidalgo? Because it seems like we just aren't able to get one over Pachuca.
I'm just going to go back to what I said last week. We just have to control the game. It just didn't seem like we had a clear-cut idea of what we wanted to do going forward. It seemed like we were always scrambling. We couldn't get creative. Our top players weren't doing what they needed to do. It's just about just us setting the tempo, setting the precedent, being the protagonist from minute one to minute 90. It's really that simple. Like I think that you know, Pachuca's a well-coached team, but it's a team that we can break down. And we've given lapses. We've shown moments where they are very vulnerable, right? And we just need to just find a way to kind of just break down and finish.
Absolutely. Chris, were you happy that we got Pachuca? Because there's a lot of people on the timeline that were like, okay, let's hopefully Necaxa win so we can avoid Pachuca. And there was other people on the timeline that were like, no, 1,000% give me Pachuca. I want that revenge. Where did you land in between both of those?
So the way I viewed it is give me whoever. I think we can't sit here and be bragging about we're the best team, we're this and that, and be scared of a team. Regardless of history, regardless of last games, regardless of anything. One thing I kicked out from the second leg is America has 70% of possession, right? We're going to look at this game ugly. We're going to look at it for what it was. But when you look at the details, we weren't dominated, right? There's a lot of credit going out to Pachuca that I don't feel the same way Christian felt the first time we played them, saying we missed this player, we missed it. I feel very similar. Not exactly the same because I don't think it's like, oh, we lack players, we lack this and that. But I feel like you're seeing pages saying, oh, they nothing but youngsters dominated America. Look, bro, if we're looking at it from an individual standpoint, only youngster that performed for them was Berlanga, in my opinion. Everyone else didn't play the individual ball. They played in numbers, and that's how they beat us. Same way Pumas beat us. You know, they beat us in that press. They beat us in pressuring us. They made it. There was a moment in the second half where they were all back. And anytime America pressured, passing the ball. Oh, you lost it, countered. Never shot the ball. And that's where we have talked about throughout the season, right? Where it's like, why can't you just shoot? Why does it have to be a billion passes? And mind you, when a billion passes happen and the goal happens, right? We're clipping that and we're counting how many passes and we're bragging about that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have seen those videos. Mind you, it's a beautiful thing to see. But there comes a time where, hey, if you have this space and you're going to shoot it, right? If you miss it, oh, well. But they're not even taking chances, and that has been the biggest thing for me, right? Yeah. So for me, when it comes to just judging the game, forget the score, Pachuca didn't really give us this, like, how I say it, like dominance that people are talking about. I did not see a dominance. I saw an America that was sleepwalking. That's what I saw. And to me, that you have to wake up. First game, you have to show what you saw. We saw against Chivas in the first leg, what we've seen against Cruz Azul, what we've seen against all these other teams, where we're dominant, where we're taking up. And mind you, Ivan, you are probably, I don't want to call you a hater, but because I'm sure you're trolling at times. But when you're talking about Quiñones,
no,
right?
I'm always being 100% real. I'm never joking when I'm messing with you guys.
well, point is, like, when we look at him playing these type of games, even in the final, bro. And I seen someone comment on you explaining why you thought he was a fraud, right? And saying, well, he scored, like, it's a tap in, mind you, they matter, yes, but it's like we're talking about earlier, you need to have that dog in you. It can't just be that lucky tap in, and then it's like we're gonna throw all these flowers at you. We have to show character, and like you said earlier, it comes to Valdez and it comes to Quiñones. Henry's gonna show up depending on everyone else, because that's usually what the nine. It happens with the nine. Whether if they're not great at dribbling and all these other things, they're gonna have to wait for everyone else to wake up. And so for me, I'm looking at Quiñones and looking at Valdez. Sendejas has been our best attacking player, right? I don't think that's even up for debate. He's been our best attacking player. So for me, they need to show up. Like I said, Pachuca didn't show me anything that it's out of this world. To me, they were a perfectly coached team. And Jardinet wasn't the motivator, wasn't the guy to wake these players up. That's really what's going to take us to win. So for me, like I said, I wasn't scared of Pachuca. I said whoever. And we're going to be the best team in the league, and we're investing this much in this team, all right, now it's time to prove that. And it doesn't matter how much talent you have. It has to come within. And I want to be optimistic, but, you know, I don't want to say, oh, we're going to lose or anything, but that's really what's going to take. It's going to take that inner dog inside of these players to really go out there and beat this team.
Yeah, it's going to need to be a much better performance from everyone all around, from the goalkeeper to the forward. Like, let's be honest, you know? And you're right, Pachuca didn't walk all over us in these two games that we had against them. They just played better. They understood how to play better. And obviously the narrative that people are going to run with is, oh, America gets blatantly beaten by the youngsters of Pachuca. It's only because it's going to sell and it's clickbait, but the reality is, you're right, America was a much better team, and we are a much better team. And it's just demonstrating that on the scoreline, not just the pitch, but on the scoreline as well. So yeah, it will be interesting. The other thing that's interesting, Christian, is now the roles are reversed. We go to Hidalgo first, and then we close out at the Estadio Azteca. I think that definitely is a breath of fresh air for America, seeing that, okay, we're back to our norm, our reality that is travel away first, close it out at home. And maybe we see the best of America in that sense. As far as starting 11 goes, do you see any changes other than Sebastián Castro is out being because of the injury and you just kind of plug and play Ramón Juárez?
Yeah, I think that's how we have to go. I think anyone can debate here that this is probably our best starting 11. It's just we just have to get them going, right? I think once they find their groove, especially the attacking portion of the team, I think that we'll start to see an América that we're used to seeing for the majority of the season.
And I hope that this week off that we had serves us with something. You know, we always talk about how the week of the play-in or the Liga, whatever, repechaje, has always, in a way, hinged us, right? We felt like we were handicapped by it because everyone else coming into this one was going to be in more rhythm. Now we're probably looking at this as, okay, we had a good, nice week break. We get to breathe a little bit, get back into the rhythm of the things. Pachuca has been playing since like last Tuesday. They've been going at it. It's been very quick turnaround, very back and forth. They haven't gotten a moment of rest just yet. I think I saw someone tweet that they were like, hopefully Escarraga is cashing out the bank right now so Pachuca can play on Tuesday against America. But the reality is that they are going to be on more tired legs than us. Granted, they have like, you know, 17-year-olds, so they really could be playing back and forth, no problem. But you do feel like that's going to play somewhat of a factor. So coming into this one in the first leg, I hope America has learned from what you mentioned, Chris, that, you know, these teams, they understand how to play against you. They know that numbers sometimes is the way to go, so they'll press in numbers. They'll kind of force a mistake. They'll get you in a situation where you aren't really capable of taking on three players and then breaking lines. So I do hope that one, Harine has learned from, you know, this previous encounter against them. And two, that these players, these key players, your Quiñoneses and your Valdeses, step up in these games that matter so much. Because let's be honest, if America doesn't get a result in Hidalgo and you're chasing the game at the Azteca, I think we've all seen that movie and we know how it usually ends.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing about this whole thing, right, is that we've seen this movie before and it's usually against them, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how optimistic most of us can be, but, you know, we're talking about the offseason is like a month away. Hey, man, we might be having to talk about this more sooner than
yes, more sooner than expected. But yeah. I mean, I feel some confidence that we can get the job done here, Christian. It just feels like if and when we do get the job done, I'm obviously going to be happy, but a part of me is going to be sitting there on the couch thinking,
where was this America, the week before?
Yeah, America might have just won the wrong leg, like the wrong knockout tie, you know?
Yeah, but also, I think if we want to be a little bit more optimistic and more positive, right, I think we look at this from the other side and saying, okay, we can beat this team. This is pretty much the only team this season that has given us any kind of problems. So if we beat them, that should generate some boost, some confidence in between the team, and we probably could go on to win the whole thing if we win this series. I think that'll kind of maybe propel us to hopefully the level that we were already on, which was already miles above any other team, right? So I think we need to maybe take this, you know, a little bit more optimistically, positively, and just kind of get through it. And hopefully it serves as momentum heading into, hopefully, the semifinal and the final.
Absolutely. We'll hold on to that affirmation. Hopefully it does come to fruition. But all right, gentlemen, I don't want to drag on this any much longer than expected. So I want you guys' prediction for the first leg of this quarterfinal tie at Hidalgo. Does America break the curse? Yes or no? So first leg, what are you going with, Chris?
1-0 Pachuca.
Oh, God. Okay.
I've seen this story way too much for me to just feel differently. Mind you, I'm not rooting against us. I could sit here and be like, oh, 5-0 America, which I've done in the past. But I think, like I said, they play in numbers, right?
And yeah, no, 1,000%.
How do we score on them? Mind you, they don't have Idrissi, so maybe like that's a huge positive in their attack. Maybe it's a 0-0. But like I said, what if that's what they want, where they sit back and just play their numbers game and say, you know what, we're not gonna let you score all game because I've seen how you react to these numbers game, and we're just gonna try to finish it over there where you're gonna be more emotional. I know based on the table, they're gonna have to force a goal at home. But hey, man, they, like I said, the numbers game, right? They made it ugly on us, and Carlos Moreno has been very solid. I've been impressed by Carlos Moreno personally. So, you know, I'll give you two predictions, I guess. So there's an optimism side of this whole thing. It's going to be 1-0 that side, 1-0 this side. That's my prediction. Or maybe a tie 1-1, right? But it's hard to predict just based on what we've seen through three games, right, against them this season. So, yeah. I'm not that positive in this first leg. I'll just say that.
This is the first time in this entirety of that Chris has been on the podcast that I've cured a result not go America's way. Now I'm scared. I feel like we're in trouble, Christian, here. What's your prediction?
I'm honestly viewing this at a completely different way. I think that we need to take advantage of, one, Idrissi will not be there, which arguably was the player that was giving us maybe the most trouble in the offensive side. I think he was giving Reyes nightmares on that side. So the fact that they don't have him for a whole game in their home is going to be a huge, huge loss for them, right? So I think they may kind of sort back to kind of sitting back a little bit for more parts of the game. Secondly, this is Pachuca's sixth game in 2 weeks. They've got to be tired. They've got to be tired, and America used their positioning on the table to make the game a day earlier than expected, right? Because they probably wanted to play on Thursday to get the extra day of rest. America said, hell no, we are playing on the first night. You have to take advantage. If you want anything, if you want to aspire to be champion, you have to take this game, right? And if you don't, then what's the point? America wins this 2-0.
Wow. We're on two different spectrums here. On this side, we have Christian going 2-0. On this side, we have Chris going 1-0 for Pachuca. I love it. I'm going to meet you both in the middle. I'm going 1-1. Not the worst result that America could ever get at Hidalgo, but you're right. I want to lean towards the optimism that Christian just gave us and say, you know what? Big game, big moment. No Idrissi. They're tired. Kind of, you know, punch him in the face, punch him in the mouth.
Are they though? Are they tired?
Yeah, yeah, that's what like I'm saying. They're kids.
They're like,
they can run for days.
I mean, exactly. Like, are they tired? Like, maybe they're veteran players, but they've been resting their veteran players. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. And they're playing in numbers too. It's not like they're like us where we're playing in this individual game. They're playing in numbers. They're making it easier for themselves because they lack experience. Just call it what it is. It's not a bad thing. That's their style. They're going to sit here, sit back. They're going to play three. They're going to – when they counter, that's when they have their individual play. But for the most part, it's just attack with threes, attack with two, you know, like – or, I mean, defend, you know. And it's just one of those things where I don't know how tired they are. They might be a little banged up, right, because it's not like they've been playing these easy games, but tired? I don't know, man. Like I said, they've depended way too much on this 3v1, and I hope Jardinez sees that. That's what I hope. If he sees that and finds a solution, there's no reason for us not to win. There's no reason, because we have the talent, right? But as long as they're going to be hitting Fidalgo, they're going to be hitting Valdez, they're going to be hitting Jonah, they're going to just do all these things. And like we said, Ramon Juarez is a question mark. Even though I personally think Igor is also a question mark in this game. And Israel Reyes, right? I'll even give you guys a hot take. I think you start Kevin Alvarez because Idrissi is not playing. Because of the fact Idrissi is not playing, you start Kevin Alvarez. And you don't start Chicote, you start Chava Reyes. I'll give you two hot takes right there. Because I think you can we'll come see. Out with a win. Huh?
I said we'll see. We'll see if Karina does it. Yeah.
But that's my hot take. I would start Chava Reyes. I would just go attack. I would just go attack. Make shots from everywhere. And I think Kevin and Chava Reyes are going to bring that.
Yeah, I think you need to find a way to make this Pachuca side a little bit uncomfortable. Like you mentioned, right? It's up to Hardinet to kind of figure out the missing piece of the puzzle, and we'll see if that's capable of doing that. Frank going with a 1-1 first leg, kind of like I was going with, and then saying 2-0 to America at the Azteca. I like it, but let's see what these guys think. Give me your predictions for the second leg at the Estadio Azteca, gentlemen. I know it's kind of hard to predict the second leg without seeing the first one, but what would you guys assume would be your guys' prediction for the second leg?
I said 2-0 first leg, 3-1 second leg.
My God, Christian, I don't know where you're finding all these goals from, but okay.
Hey, I'm with them.
Thank you, Chris.
That's my prediction too, 3-1.
3-1? You just said otherwise.
No. Second leg, not the first leg.
Yeah, I know. But you make it sound like, you know, we were going to get a draw at the Azteca or something.
Hey, bro, I'll say this. I just close my eyes and just imagine the Azteca being one of those nights. And I know everyone that's listening knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say one of those nights.
I hope it is.
I hope it is. Reminds me of a example, right? I think it was Pachuca or it was Pumas in 2013, where Chucho Benitez scores like last minute to like seal.
It was Pumas.
Was it Pumas? Yeah, that nights like those. That's what I'm thinking of.
Well, I hope so. Fingers crossed. I'm gonna not be as optimistic as you guys, and I'm going 1-1 again. But because of that, America advances just because of our position in the table. And then I'm not too sure if that means that the curse of Hidalgo is broken, because we didn't technically beat them, but we did eliminate them. So maybe there's a loophole there to be made. That's my prediction. And I know it's not the most optimistic one, but what can I say? It's Papa Pachuca, you know? It's one of those things. Gershon saying 1-1 in both games, kind of going with my same prediction. Septal going 2-1 in favor of Las Águilas del América. I hope that for the sake of América and for the sake of the podcast, we are back next week talking about an América victory, about the curse being broken, and about focusing and shifting directions towards the semifinal, because I think América is in a much needed position to get a victory, bounce back, and kind of shift all this negative attention and paint a different lighting going forward, so that we were a little bit more optimistic about the semifinals and about potentially being big campeones. And so it's gonna be tricky. It's gonna be a long 90 minutes in Hidalgo, and an even longer 90 minutes at the Estadio Azteca, depending on how the results go. But yeah, I guess all I can say is make sure you guys follow us on Twitter so you guys can join in with our suffering throughout these games, and we'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. Gentlemen, anything else to add on before we kind of wrap it up?
I've reached an all-time delusionalness after a bad representation of myself in the other series. Hopefully the team pulls through for me on this one. If not, I'm losing a lot of credibility here.
We haven't asked you this in a minute, but do you bet the house or
not on the first leg? On the second leg, I would.
Okay. All right.
Someone's gonna be homeless. Maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Midwestern Cholo saying 3-2 to America on aggregate. It'll be interesting. Well, yeah, gentlemen, we're coming to the end of the podcast, and we're at the point of whether or not America is going to be able to do this. So hopefully they are. And we'll be back next week to talk all things Club America in English. And like I mentioned, hopefully we can talk about a victory and progress and look forward into what potentially could be a semifinal. With that said, anything else to add on before we kind of wrap it up here?
I mean, I hope everyone's entertained by Drake and Kendrick. That's all I'll say.
Absolutely, absolutely. Christian?
Listen, man, we just gotta have faith, man. What you know, we're not America without, you know, just a little bit of craziness to our storyline, right? Let's get through this series, which I know we will, and let's aspire to that 15th, which is still the goal here, right? Like, who doesn't want to be campeón? It's been a while.
Absolutely.
It's been a long while.
Yeah. And then we have to be tetra campeones because it's been just as long. It's weird that they don't count the bicampeón because you were champions three times. So it's been longer that you've not been. Do I explain myself? Like, because America won the title back to back the three
amateur
times.
But in the amateur days. Which is
stupid. No, because there was in the 80s, America won it three times in a row, right?
I thought it was 1920.
No, look at that. Look at us pretending to be Club America experts and not knowing the history.
And one of us is right.
Very bad look.
One
at
of us.
Us
is right.
One of us is right. Or both. Although I have a feeling both of us are wrong. either way, we'll get you guys that answer.
Not partake me in this little discussion that just occurred.
Okay. All right. Either way, we'll get you guys that answer next week when we come back on the podcast. Regardless, thank you guys so much for coming out. Chris, Christian, for taking out the time. Sorry for dragging you guys so much in such a late finish to the podcast.
How long did we go?
Yes, sir.
An hour, 18 minutes. So
it's not too bad.
Not too bad at all. All righty then. Well, to everyone that was in the chat, Frank, Ricardo, Midwestern Cholo, Dylan, Septile, Gershon. I know I mentioned already Ricardo. Everyone, really, thank you so much. AP Jr. as well out there in the chat. Thank you so much. 1924. Awesome. Just great to see you guys one of one as well. And to all of our listeners as well in the platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thank you so much for tuning into us. And hopefully, like I mentioned, we're back next week to talk things more Club America and hopefully a progression into the semifinals. With that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.